This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by Often Everland Travel. If you're planning your next vacation, maybe you want to go, like we're going to talk about later, to Star Wars Celebration, get with them right now. Often Everland Travel at the website, gotoneverland.com. And as Will likes to say,
all you got to do is pack.
All you got to do is pack. Go to neverland.com. And now, on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, September 21st, and this is episode 1531 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes, and I was afraid that you didn't know what day it was, Logan.
I know what day it is, because this, we're what, 8 days away from our big event, from De Las Puertas?
Right.
Which is coming on September 30th. Quick plug up front. That's next Friday, if you're listening to this on release week. Claremont, Florida. Tickets are on sale now. Come and join us with some of the greatest bands from Walt Disney World history. It's going to be a blast. Terry is still out. He is on vacation. So we get to bring in another special guest. We have a transmission coming in, Will. Who do we have? Sir, who are you?
I'm Dan Z from Coffee with Kenobi.
That's awesome. If you're not a listener to Coffee with Kenobi, it's a great Star Wars podcast. And if you're a Star Wars super geek like Will and I, and grew up with the whole franchise, the whole series, it's a really fun show to listen to, and I encourage you guys to check it out. And if you've seen the new Target campaign, there's a rebel in everyone, something like that.
Yes.
You've seen Dan as the school teacher, which is what you do, right? That's not just a part.
That's correct. I am a high school English teacher on my 11th year.
Yeah, it's awesome. So if you haven't seen that, well, I'll put it in the show notes so you can go watch this ad campaign that Target just put out. But Dan has been a listener to WDW Today, and we've been a listener to Coffee with Kenobi.
Yeah, and Dan, in that commercial, you talk about teaching Shakespeare to your students using mm-hmm. Star Wars. Is that a script piece, or is that real?
No, that's 100% real. The entire way I even got connected with Lucasfilm was because I reached out after having our show for a while and offering to write a blog about how I use education and Star Wars together. It's a perfect harmony because there are so many parallels, especially with Shakespeare. And it's kind of built from there. And then Target reached out to me and they offered me this, of which, of course, I was thrilled about. But then when it happened, I went into a sound booth and they had me in there for about an hour and a half, almost 2 hours. And they just asked me questions about Star Wars, about my history with it, about education, all of those things together. And then they basically wrote down everything I said. And then they had me restate all of my particular quotes that they liked and had me change inflection and emphasize different words and things like that. And that was all me. That was everything I said. I said way more than one sentence, but that was 100% me.
That's awesome. And like you said, Dan is not just a little part of the Star Wars universe because he obviously is in this ad campaign, but you're a writer and you can find all your work on StarWars.com and there are other kind of sources. So make sure to find that out, which is pretty awesome. That, like, Will and I's dream job from when we were 10 years old, probably maybe our dream job now.
Yeah, I don't think that that's gone away.
No, I mean, if you show up as a voice of a stormtrooper in episode 8, that's when I don't know if we can be friends anymore.
well, gosh, that's kind of a paradox then, isn't it?
Oh, dang it, man. I'm thrilled, though, to have you on and talk Star Wars. You're a Disney fan as well. But I wanted to kind of break it down because usually we hear it from this side. Like, I have to kind of calm down my Star Wars fandom when I'm doing WDW Today and talk from my Disney brain and say, Disney brain says this and Star Wars over here. But I want to kind of embrace the other side of this.
Yeah, people aren't going to get mad at us if you're
the one saying
it.
But
I'm happy to help.
So we have Star Wars Land coming up. But I was curious, when you coming at it from Star Wars first, maybe Disney second or below, what has excited you about this new – we'll start with right now. Let's start with Hollywood Studios. What's happening in the park? And, you know, in general, as a Star Wars fan, is it something now you feel like you need to make a pilgrimage to? Or are you still waiting for that big reveal for Star Wars Land?
No, that's as sure as water is wet, me making that pilgrimage. Because every year since 95, I've been to the parks. I was a cast member when I was in college, and I've absolutely loved it. I grew up with Star Wars. And when the announcement for Disney purchasing Lucasfilm in episodes 7, 8, and 9 was coming, I was so happy I was shaking. But when they announced at D23 that they were doing Star Wars Land, I cried. And I don't, you know, you hear people say I cry about Star Wars, and I'm not, I mean, I was in the room when my child was born.
Star Wars,
that was when the real emotion came, but that just hit me like I can't even explain, because not only do I get to experience Star Wars as an adult and be immersed in it, but I can take my son and we can walk on the actual Millennium Falcon together. I can't even tell you. I mean, I don't have to tell you, Logan, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It doesn't get any better than that.
No, I can't wait for that. My hope is that Millennium Falcon will be ready before my son is in his mid-20s. That's my hope.
I think it will.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think it's going to be the Avatar timeline, but I think it'll be a couple of years from now, and which will be perfect. My kid will be in, you know, 6-7 years old, and I look forward.
Well, it's definitely on the fast track. When I was on Thunder Mountain Railroad in July in Disneyland, I mean, you can see the progress. I mean, of course, on the internet you have photos from both parks, right. But they're definitely full speed ahead.
Yeah, I think unlike some of those other IPs they brought in, the fact that they own this thing, they don't have to get permission from George or Avatar for James Cameron. It's a bit different.
Or share it with Universal.
It's pretty easy for them to just go and just go ahead with it, you know, full on. I love what's going on with Star Wars. I've talked about it ad nauseum when it comes to my love for what's going on at Hollywood Studios. And you've been to Disneyland recently, and maybe you can touch on that. For those of us that haven't made it out there to see some of the new Star Wars stuff that's happening at Disneyland, for us that are East Coast based, do you feel it's worth it, or is it better just, are we going to get a similar or maybe even a superior experience of what's going on as a Star Wars fan right now at Hollywood Studios?
Yeah, well, it's a good question, and I think it's 100% worth it. I'm coming from a bias, which everyone who's listening to the show will completely relate to, because I'm also a lifelong Disney fan. So just being at Disneyland, you know, where Walt was there, it's been around since 1955, and now they've not only sprinkled Star Wars, but Tomorrowland is basically Star Wars Land, as you talked about on our show with Hollywood Studios. It's just everywhere. There's some unique things at Disneyland that are not at Hollywood Studios. Even the menus for the Galactic Grill, you've got Hyperspace Mountain, which is a very, very generous term to say it's a Star Wars ride, but it's certainly an overlay. The theater for Seasons of the Force is absolutely incredible. It adds to the scope of the film because of the lighting and the sound, the stereo system they have there. It's pretty great. And they have, you know, the First Order Stormtroopers exploring. You've got the Launch Bay gift shop, and you've got a huge gift shop in Tomorrowland, which is all Star Wars now anyway. So just from a history and nostalgia point of view, obviously you go to Disneyland anyway. But if it's just for Star Wars, I do not think you'll be disappointed.
Now, you mentioned, and if those of you listening didn't catch this, this is our first crossover episode with Coffee with Kenobi. So we are going to be on their show. He's got some great questions for us about Disney and kind of a reversal of these roles. Yes. And so it's pretty good. I encourage everyone to go check that out and listen.
Thank you.
But you did mention something on there that you were in the college program. And so you were a cast member at Disney. So, you know, you've got deep Disney roots. You're allowed to be on here.
Thank you. I proposed to my wife at the Polynesian too, at Sunset Point.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So you did mention that you were a cast member for a time at a certain Star Wars related attraction. Could you tell us a little bit about that? What that was like?
When I worked at Disney, at Hollywood Studios, it was MGM Studios at the time. I did the college program of spring of 95, summer 96, and summer 97. And I worked at Mickey's of Hollywood, the front of the park, and I worked in the animation courtyard. And one day when I showed up on my location, they said, Dan, we're going to move you to a different location, which they didn't do very often. But when they did, it was very unique because you had to get used to different things. The bathrooms were in different areas. You know, where's the nearest place to get something to drink? Everything is a little bit different. So you have to kind of reacquaint yourself. But I said, that sounds fun. Where am I going to be? And they said, well, you're going to be at Intervendor, which is what Tatooine Traders used to be before the huge overlay happened there. And gentlemen, I can't even tell you how excited I was. I was mentioning on our show, I was in that stock room more than anyone normally would be because I was just pouring over the merchandise. And I remember walking up to a cast member who had been there for probably a very long time. And I said, hey, if anybody has Star Wars questions, send them to me. And he just looked at me and said, yeah. He said, okay, yeah, thanks. Like, sort of like, okay, kid, and go get a drink of water and sit in the corner. But amazing.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
I don't think people understand, maybe if you're younger or you weren't into Star Wars until more recently, that in 1995, the amount of merchandise and the amount you saw Star Wars, it was starting to crank back up, with the THX releases, but it really was still minimal. You know, with
that was one of the few places in the world you could really have that Star experience. Wars
stuff. Yeah,
that's right. And they just started to re-release figures. Hasbro took that over full time, even though it had the Kenner logo on it for a while. And that was when you had the muscular Luke Skywalker and Chewbacca and Darth Vader. When I worked there is when they started to get the figures out a little more spread. And that was when the first 3¾-inch figure of Grand Moff Tarkin was out. So when we weren't working at Disney World, we would comb the local comic book shops in Orlando trying to find him or any sort of presence because, like you said, Will, it was very much starting to kind of reboot itself, and it was very exciting.
So were you going to Sci-Fi World in Orlando at the time, or which comic book stores were you going to? Do you remember?
I went to Coliseum of Comics.
Oh, very nice.
Oh. Yeah.
We were over in Longwood, so we were more on the Acme side of things going on, but also Sci-Fi World. Sure. And for Star Wars figures, I have to say one of the most bummer thing ever, though, because I was a collector as a kid, and I still have all of my Episode One action figures from the first line that I've got at Midnight. Sure. I have them all still, and I don't really know what to do with them. And they were on my wall as a kid, and now they just sit there. I may just give it to my son soon. But I had those.
I think we're clones.
The original lineup. I had that Power of the Force lineup, and it was that Princess Leia that was like hard to find, like hundreds of dollars. And I saw it at the comic book store the other day for like $7, and I was like, man,
like
that
cheaper
did not
than retail.
That did not appreciate well. That didn't do as well as I hoped.
Well, the reason is because they oversaturate. It sounds funny to say that Star Wars was oversaturating the market because it's ubiquitous. Yeah, you can't walk down an aisle at Walmart anywhere without seeing something. But they overly produced Episode One Phantom Menace stuff, so that I think is part of it. And they claim that they've scaled back for The Force Awakens. I don't know that that's true. Although I will say it's much harder to find action figures. There aren't Constable Zuvio.
I know. We're going to get too far off topic, man. The Zuvios are everywhere, and I struggled to find all my 3¾. There still hasn't been a whole big lineup, so I'm going to move on past that. But there are certain characters I'm missing. Where's my Luke? Where's my Han?
Here's my question.
Luke hasn't been made yet.
I know. It's bumming me up.
Why 3¾? Why not a solid 4 inches?
That's how it's always been.
I know. Why, though? I mean, could someone answer that?
Talk to
that was they wanted to scale it because you have R2-D2 versus Darth Vader and Chewbacca, and they wanted the figures to fit in the vehicles.
Oh, see, I knew someone would have the answer.
Yeah. All right. off of the typical talk where we could this is more Star Wars talk than I think we did at Coffee with Kenobi.
This is like Coffee with Kenobi.
But because we are just hardcore Star Wars fans, and I've been to it. Now, here's something I wanted to bring up because. One of the first big introductions to Star Wars where I was there, where it was an amazing experience. Obviously, we had Star Wars Weekends for years. Now, Star Wars Weekends kind of lives on continually. Not quite as much with characters, but still stuff. Then we had the first Celebration in Orlando, which if you don't know what Star Wars Celebration is, it's a big fan convention. I don't even know how to explain it because it's not like a traditional Comic-Con or something you'd think of because it's put on by the people at Star Wars. So you see a lot of exclusives. You see a lot of people that you know. A lot of the celebrities show up. I saw George Lucas there. I saw him get interviewed by Jon Stewart. It was an amazing experience at Celebration in Orlando the first year. And they did this big last tour to indoor event. And that was the first time I experienced the Symphony in Stars. They had Star Wars fireworks. And that's the first time. If you had cried there, that's where I cried with Star Wars, was that Symphony with the Stars just got me because I was not expecting it. And now they've rolled that out. It's essentially a similar show, but now much more technologically advanced. That happens with the Galaxy Showcase, happens every night. But for someone, have you been to the celebrations before in Florida? And as someone that is going to be in Orlando anyway, would you suggest it to the Star Wars fan to check out Celebration?
It's like Star Wars Nerd Camp. It's incredible. I went to Celebration 3 in Indianapolis when Revenge of the Sith came out. And then I went to Anaheim, and that was great because that was the first time I was involved in Celebration as a podcaster and writer for StarWars.com. Yeah. So it was amazing. It was just like, this is the best way to explain it. I am a very regimented guy. I wake up at a certain time. I go to bed a certain time. I have my 3 meals a day, try to exercise. When I was there, I would look at my watch, and I had not only had I not eaten, but I didn't even think about going to the bathroom. Because I was just so ensconced in everything. That sounds crazy. And it is, ladies and gentlemen. It is crazy. But you just become overwhelmed. Everyone is so incredibly friendly. And there were thousands and thousands of people there. So it's definitely something. And you guys should look into this. They have a podcast stage where they have podcasts come on and record live. We were the very first show ever to be on the podcast stage. It was just a lottery thing, but we'll still take it as a trivia question. And it's a lot of fun. And you get just that live feedback. And of course you guys have a lot of great live stuff coming on and coming up very soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Yeah, I'm curious about how they'd feel about us. You know, we talk Star Wars enough, but I don't know maybe I'll just kind of guest on your show. I'm sure that's something we can pull off, right? Your biggest show of the year. But when it comes down to celebration, I encourage you guys, because it's back at the Orange County Convention Center. This is the third time that it's been there. This will be my third time. I didn't make it to Anaheim because I had my son and now my kids all were happening. It wasn't the right time for that. But I will be back. It's in April this year, or this coming year. And I think it's like Easter weekend, which is a little odd.
It is. Sunday is the last day of it, Easter Sunday.
So that is going to, like, me and my buddies were all going to go. And now I've had a few of them drop out being like, dude, I got Easter with the kids. I can't just bail and go to Celebration. But I'm going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind I'm going to be there. And my wife and I went both times we went. Once was, you know, we were just big fans. And she was not that huge into Star Wars. And I think she kind of got it after Celebration. Like, she kind of understood it. So if you are a big Star Wars fan or your kid is, it's a great place to meet people in cosplay, giant wampas walking around, get a picture with Roxy the Rancor. It is a really cool fan experience that's coming to Orlando in April. Again, they're not sponsoring this or anything. If they want to, they can.
13th to the 16th.
Yeah, and it is a blast. So if you're going to be down in Orlando during that, honestly, I would plan a trip around it. Because if you're a hardcore Star Wars fan, but maybe you don't want to do, like, I'm not interested in going to the panels. Just spend one day. Get an expo pass. Walk around. See the vendors. See all the people in costume. Maybe meet some of your favorite stars, or maybe some even like the big guys you don't think of, you know, the people that are, you know, Admiral Ackbar, you know, those kind of guys that aren't necessarily the Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, which you can do. And I've done, which is an amazing experience, even if it's only a matter of seconds that you're with them. But it's a great little add-on if you're a Star Wars fan and you're going to be at Disney World. Or, hey, if you're a dad and you want to split off for a half day. Great place to go to Star Wars Celebration and experience it. Now, they haven't announced really any programming yet because it's still quite a while away, but they will. As time rolls on, last time it was in Celebration, they did the big rollout for Star Wars Detours, which never came to be, but I got my picture with Seth Green, so I'm excited about that.
Oh, nothing wrong with that.
And he was really great, but for a Disney fan, they also usually have Disney panels, and now I'm sure they do even more. But when I was there the first year, Jason Sorrell and Anthony Daniels did a panel together to announce Star Tours, The Adventures Continue, and to show the first preview of that. And I remember sitting in that room, and Jason has become sort of friendly with me. And I've told him, man, I remember sitting in that room and seeing that experience. It was just so cool because you got a Disney exclusive at Star Wars Celebration. Same thing happened previous year, or the next year they came to Orlando. I sat in a Disney panel with all the Disney merchandise that was going to be rolling out that was Star Wars themed. So there is a ton of Disney crossover that happens at the event. Don't think that you're not going to get any Disney magic out of it. And now that Star Wars part of the family, it's a fun thing to add. So will you guys be there? And are you set up for podcasting yet, or do we not know?
It's still too early. Media Pass registration is about the week or two before Thanksgiving. And somewhere around that time is when they will announce the podcast stage. Maybe. For Celebration London over the summer, they didn't really have an official one, but Jedi News UK ran it, and it was very successful and amazing as well. But when it comes out, it'll be all over Twitter for sure. And so we'll definitely be there. We're going to have a very heavy Coffee with Kenobi appearance. We interview as many of the Star Wars folks as we can. The highlight for me in Orlando was we got to sit down and talk with Freddie Prinze Jr., who is, of course, Kanan, for a long time. And he's been on our show five or six times. And he's even cooler in person than he is when you hear him on these interviews. So, yeah, there's just so much. I could go on and on.
Yeah, I mean, I know, guys, you may think that's not necessarily Disney related, but it really is. And sometimes they do Disney special events. So keep a watch on Star Wars Celebration. And I think Will's going to hop down for Celebration for his first time this coming year.
Oh, good deal.
Really excited.
There are a ton of Disney panels that last for Anaheim. They had the Disney publishing. They had highlights with all the Disney Star Wars merchandise that had come out. There's a lot of great things to do with the parks.
I do have another, this throws back to your show again, because I want to remind people to go out and listen to Coffee with Kenobi.
Yeah. Subscribe, do it. Come on.
But you asked us on that, what our favorite Star Wars merchandise kind of, so there's a tease. You can find out what Logan and my favorite merchandise piece is. I didn't say this one, but it did just come to me. I have like an Imperial pint glass, so like a heavy, more than just 16 ounce, it's probably 24 ounce glass that's from Star Wars Weekends. and it's Jedi Mickey fighting Darth Vader with lightsabers.
That's right.
And
that's awesome.
And I'm a big water drinker. So I like that it's a like a glass.
It's water in quotes.
It's a nice glass, but I can fill it with a lot of water. So I like that.
While Dan takes a breather, let's go listen. Mr. Terry Weaver chimed in from his European tour. Take a listen.
Well, hello, guys. This is Terry coming to you from Paris, France. We've concluded our Disney cruise on the Disney Magic. Had a fantastic time with some unexpected trips. You'll have to forgive me for sounding a little too much like Barry White. I'm not trying to sing you a love song or anything today. But the European environment and secondhand smoke everywhere is taking its toll on my voice. So, we've had a fantastic trip. I'll tell you what, guys, if you get a chance to go on a Mediterranean cruise that includes Italy with ports of call, run. Don't walk. Do it now. It was a fantastic cruise. As I checked in last time, I told you we were about to head ashore in Positano on the Amalfi Coast in Naples. And we started our day. Just got a cruise in along the Amalfi Coast. Stopped at a limoncello factory. Went to the little village of Positano, which if you ever Google Amalfi Coast is the village that comes up. And our driver took us, after we got to explore the city, to the top of the hill and said, hey, I know you've got lunch plans, but I want to take you to this place. And this guy seemed like he knew what he was doing, so we gave him a chance. And we went to this place with his family that owned a farm. And we took this elevator down, overlooking the entire Mediterranean. Found out there was no menu. It's just a grandma in the kitchen. And they start, you sit down at your table. It's 25 euros. They put 4 or 5 bottles of wine on the table. I think they put about 10 appetizers on the table for our family. And then meats and cheeses and all kinds of stuff. Absolutely amazing. Unforgettable experience. One we won't soon forget. We left Positano, got to check out the ruins in Pompeii, which is amazing to see. Went to Rome. Rome was probably my least favorite part of the trip. But on our way to Rome, we had a Tangled night on the boat and got to see Disney's new Tangled the Musical, which ends with a takeover of O'Gill's pub with a snuggly duckling. It was kind of fun. But Tangled the Music is absolutely my favorite Disney Cruise Line show. It's, in my opinion, I'm going to say this quietly, better than Frozen. But the musical was fantastic. The new shows I saw on the ship, that and Twice Charmed, kind of a retake on what happened to Cinderella after the shoe, was a lot of fun. Just a great cruise. As I said, Rome wasn't my favorite. I didn't enjoy the big city. We did get to see the Sistine Chapel and the Colosseum and, just the big sights around the city and the fountain. And they were breathtaking, but the city was very crowded. So our next day, we docked in Livorno, which is just outside of Pisa. And then, obviously we stopped, took our pictures, pushing the tower over. And then we went to the Chianti Classico area of Tuscany and went to this vineyard/bread and breakfast place called Vignamignano. And I know I've thrashed how that sounds. And we spent the day learning how to make pasta and tiramisu. From the ladies there in the kitchen and meet some of the winemakers there at the vineyard in Tuscany. It was absolutely breathtaking. A place I will definitely be going back to as soon as possible. The next day we were supposed to head to Nice in France. We got to Nice. They tried to dock in huge sea swells. And so we got an unexpected day at sea. And the ship was amazing. They got us another port for the next day that was supposed to be a day at sea. It went to Marseille, France, and that was absolutely beautiful. The cruise was wonderful. My family, we're going to Disneyland Paris tomorrow, our last day of the trip. I'll be sure to bring that back. I know you guys have missed having me on the show. I know Logan and Will have really missed me the most. But we've had a great time. But I just wanted to check in with you guys. Miss being on the show. And can't wait to tell you about it some more. If you have questions, guys, you can just tweet me at Terry Weaver, and that way I can prepare for next week's show and know what questions you might have about the cruise and about cruising in the Mediterranean.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we just want to tell you about a couple things. First, let's talk about Circa 1955, a great candle company if you want these great Disney smell and scents at your house. Each and every day, experience Walt Disney World right at home. You need to go to their website, circa1955.com. Great supporters of WDW today, and we love them, and their scents are awesome. Will's been rocking a lot of their smells.
I love the Dole Whip flavored candle.
Yeah, maybe you get it. I'm not sure what the theme is this month.
It's flavored.
But it's awesome, so make sure you subscribe right now. It's like $20 a month for two candles. It's great. Circa1955.com. Also, De Las Puertas coming up next week. So next Friday night, September 30th, we're going to be rocking out at Claremont Performing Arts Center. You know all the bands that are coming off kilter. The Mulch, Sweat, and Shears, British Invasion, so many. The Dream Finder. Get your tickets now, dlpfest.com. And now back to our conversation with Dan. So, hey, let's flip it on you. You asked us some questions. Let's ask you some questions. And again, sure. If you guys are a Star Wars fan, make sure to check out Coffee with Kenobi and check out all the new Star Wars stuff coming. First, let's see this. Of all the things, what's your dream moment that's going to happen or dream attraction that could be built with Star Wars Land?
It's definitely the Millennium Falcon. Just being able to, if I could walk, if it was to scale and I could walk up that ramp with my son and see his face, I just can't imagine anything better than that as a Star Wars fan and as a parent.
Awesome. Me and you are renting out the park that night, and we're just going to
be. Absolutely.
Because that's awesome. I'm a little afraid of the crowd. I want to experience Star Wars Land myself. So, Will, you got a question? I'll throw another one out if not.
You go first. I'm thinking of a good one.
Okay. All right. So, favorite Star Wars moment that has happened in a Walt Disney World park. So, it could be a show. It could be an attraction. It could be your experience working at the Tatooine Traders. What Star Wars moment has happened for you that had some Disney magic to it?
My goodness. Well, I mean, going to Star Wars weekends with my mother for the first time and not really, we kind of happened upon it by happenstance because it was going on when we had a trip scheduled anyway. And walking up to the turnstiles and seeing the stormtroopers on the roof was pretty electric. Seeing Path of the Jedi at Disneyland, I got really emotional at that. I was with my wife. But I think maybe the coolest thing, it was just something little, but it was, I had my son on my shoulders and he was barely over one. And I got my picture with him right by the AT-AT over by Star Tours. And I don't know, for some reason that just seems like a tradition. Now, when he's 20, he's not going to be on my shoulders because I'll probably break my back. But that's kind of like a spot for us, if that makes sense.
Awesome. That's when Avatar will be opening when he's 20.
All right. My question is favorite Star Wars character that you can meet in the park?
Ooh, well, it's not Kylo Ren because he's very scary. But if you're talking about all time, I got my picture with Darth Vader during Star Wars weekends, and they had the casing where his basically his operating table, his rebirth and Revenge of the Sith. And that was pretty cool because he was intimidating, but he was also willing to take pictures with you. Where Kylo Ren, you can tell there's a little bit of attitude there. That's part of the shtick.
Yeah, you can't put your arm around him.
That's right. That's right. No, you probably wouldn't want to because you might lose a limb, but Vader, definitely Vader.
Awesome. One thing I do want to say that if you haven't experienced it, and I don't know if you have, sir, but if you kind of miss Star Wars weekends, on May the 4th, and sometimes even the Revenge of the 5th, they do a special Star Wars Day. So it's pretty cool to go, and it's usually not announced, and they'll roll out some limited merchandise, there'll be some character interactions, so great little extra bit. Well, Dan, thank you so much for joining us, and I'm thrilled to have you as a friend of the show. And, again, check out Coffee with Kenobi. We're over there. Will and I are over there talking Star Wars even more so. But thank you so much.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you both so much. It's a pleasure to be on this show and just be able to chat with you guys about Disney and Star Wars, two of my passions.
All right. Special thanks to Dan and all the crew at Coffee with Kenobi, to Terry. Sorry Lynn didn't make it on today's show, but he was a busy man over at Food and Wine Festival. But we'll have him on in the next couple weeks. Thank you guys so much for listening. Again, if you want to join us, come on out to De Las Puertas next Friday night, dlpfest.com. Also, off to Neverland travel, go to neverland.com if you want to get your vacation plan in circa 1955 candles. That's going to do it for today's show. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
That was Dan, Terry, and not Lynn. And we will talk to you on the next show. So you stole prison ship lies waiting in the bay. By the prison wall, as I heard.